Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from the Expression House headquarters, Mokola, Ibadan. We bring people into membership in God's family, mature them in Christ's likeness, equip them for ministry, and send them out for missions to the world in order to magnify God's name. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover purpose. Connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG or join us on site at Mokola, Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. Now, let's get into the message.
In Jesus' wonderful name, we have prayed. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Thank you all. You can be seated in the presence of God. Hallelujah. I'm so excited this morning. And when the light went off, I was like, what's going on today? Like, this day that I want to preach is when light is going off. But see how everywhere is cozy and nice, like we're in a movie theater and everywhere is dark except for the screen, and I'm the screen, right? So maybe that's what God wants. That's the vibe that God wants us to have today. So we'll roll with it like that. First of all, I want to thank God and thank Pastor for the opportunity to preach this message. And actually, this particular message and this particular title and the crux of what I'm going to be saying today, I received this message in about 2020 or 2021. I can't even pinpoint the exact time, but 2020, 2021 is when these words came to me, right? And I always knew that one day I'll preach this thing, but I thought it would come sharp. Do you get? So in 2022, Pastor said, Orefe, you're going to preach. Most of you were not here that time. It was done service 2022. So in my mind, mainly he said it, I was like, oh, now misses that message that God gave me. Oh, my, it was not though. Pastor was like, so you're going to preach on joy. I was like, what about the message that God now gave me? So I preached on joy, but this one kind of just faded away. As a matter of fact, I had most of this message written in my previous phone, the phone I was using before. And over time, as the phone has spoiled, even my own mind too has left the old message and everything. But in the past couple of weeks, right, this message began to come back to me. It's as if it was just coming back to my head, But I was thinking about it a lot. I was like, oh, okay. But I didn't know. Like, I just remember that, oh, there's one message, this and that. And so when Pastor said, Orefe, you're going to preach, I was like, oh, is that why this message has been coming back to me? Because of this. But I was like, probably not. Pastor will probably say, you're preaching on this. And then that would displace everything, Abi. But I was waiting. A pastor never said anything, right? So I was like, okay, that's confirmation. This is what God wants me to preach. I've said all this story because I want to say that this message I'm about to preach today is one that is very integral for you to hear in this time that we are in. As a matter of fact, as I was waiting on the Lord and preparing for this message, I heard the Lord say to me very clearly, tell them what I'm thinking. Tell them what I'm saying. That's what came to me. So I am certain that this is something that God wants me to be saying to you right now. And not just to you, but to myself as well. Like I said, the message has been coming to my mind over and over in the past couple of weeks. Not just because God knew I was going to preach, but because God knew that I had to be reminded of some of these things that I'm about to say. So, sorry, can we, like, reduce the number of fans that are facing me? I'm getting very cold. Please, thank you, technical. And everything is flying everywhere, that's why. So, it is a word in season. That's what I'm trying to say. We know, Pastor is always reiterating the scripture, Psalm 19 and verse 2. Abi, so if we can have it projected, but I think we all know it, which is, day unto day uttereth speech, Abi. Right? So, and the message that we always get from that is that God is always saying something, right? And I'm very sure that it's not as if it's the same thing that he's just saying everything. There are things that he's saying per time. Do you get? And I feel that this is what, I know that this is what God wants us to be hearing at this particular time, right? So please, let us just open our hearts and let us listen. Let's listen. Don't say that it's because we're afraid I say anything, blah, blah, blah. It's not pastor. God can speak through anybody, right? God even spoke through the mouth of a horse. Do you understand? So no matter how small, young, or whatever I am, God can speak through my mouth, and I know that I will do so. I'm spending a lot of time to hammer on the reason why you should listen, right? Because it's important for you to listen. Yesterday, as I was laying in bed, I suddenly felt, funny enough, I cannot remember what I felt. But I suddenly felt like a weight fall on me. suddenly I was so anxious. Suddenly I was so, like, it was like, what am I going to say? That kind of thing, right? And I immediately just clogged that, devil, I see what you're trying to do. I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to displace me. So me that I've been waiting on God for the past how many days, that I've been putting this word together, you're suddenly going to now strike fear into my heart that, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? I knew that it's because what I'm about to say is important. That's why you want me to be too scared to deliver God's message. Abi? So immediately I said, Satan, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Then this scripture popped into my spirit, which is that casting down every imagination, Abi, and every thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. So I said, I cast down that evil thought now. I bind to Satan. Get behind me in Jesus' name. Right? So I've spent so much time saying you should listen now. Please listen. We're going to begin now. What inspired this topic? Set yourself on fire. I heard a quote. And that quote is from a man named John Wesley. What is the quote? Set yourself on fire, and the world will come to watch you burn. Set yourself on fire, and the world will come to watch you burn. Have you ever seen an accident scene before? An accident happens on the road. When things like that happen, I go in the other direction because I don't want to see nonsense. But you know what I found? Most people actually go to go and see that, they said accident has happened. Everybody now rush. They will now all line up. That I was coming from Lagos on Thursday, I believe it was. Yes, and overnight there had been an accident. While I was now coming again, there was now another accident with fire burning and everything. Whenever there is an accident somewhere, whenever something is burning, people come to watch. And I learned something about the human nature from that understanding. We are actually drawn to things that are morbid, to things that are strange. We are drawn to it to see. I'm a huge fan of the movie The Greatest Showman. Is there anybody here that's watched it? Aha, quite a number of people. Oh my gosh, I love that movie. Watch it all the time. The guy did not have money, he did not have a good background, etc., etc. So he looked and looked and looked at, what can I do? So he began to gather all the people that have peculiarities, like a woman with full beards, right? People that normally you should hide them away. People with two heads, if you know the actual story. People that conjoined twins that have two heads. People with all kinds of deformities. He gathered them, and from that he became a billionaire. I don't know if it's billionaire or billionaire, but he became very rich because he started the circus. So people will come to watch these strange people that. Wow. Even in the movie, they use black people too. There was this black girl that used to do trapeze. So even we said, we're like, wow, those monkeys. Wow, talking monkeys. Oh my gosh. Right? So we were fascinated to those Oyibo people and all other kinds of fascinating things. They will come to watch. He made a lot of money from that. So what am I trying to say? We are always drawn to things that are strange. If somebody walks into this auditorium now and sets himself on fire, just pours petrol, bah, we will all be like, what's going on? Everybody will not just sit down and keep listening to me that preach on Oreo Fair. I'm enjoying what you're saying. Everybody will turn like, oh my God, what is going on? Right? We love to see things burning. If we bring that down to the Christian faith and the Christian walk, it's the same way. If there's something peculiar about you, you will not need to go and tell people to come. They will naturally come to see that. What's wrong with this girl? Like, what's going on here? Right? They will gather around it. Is this person like normal? Is this person the same? You will be the circus that people are coming to watch. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So this was said by a man named John Wesley, right? John Wesley was a student of Oxford University, or Suffolk. You should know Oxford. Everybody knows that, right? And he just sort of found God, He and his group of friends. So they started, doing Bible study together. Before long, John Wesley began to preach, right? But there was no church to preach in. So they would gather on a burial ground to just do Bible study. Before long, people would come from all over the city to come and hear God's word at the cemetery. Does that make sense? If they tell me now that Omo Orefe, the place where God is like blowing out right now, that God is doing miracles, is in a cemetery, you will never see me there. I can tell you that. Because all those kind of things, they scare me. Anything there, I don't like going for burial. I don't like seeing coffin. If I'm passing on the road and I mistakenly see the edge of a coffin, I close my eyes. I detest it. And I'm sure a lot of you too are not that comfortable with it. Some people don't care, like our nurses, right? But me, I care. I don't want, right? But people were actually going to the same church. That's the only space that John Wesley had to preach. They were actually going there to hear him preach. So they asked John Wesley one day. They said, what is it about you that people are coming from all over to come and hear you preach? What, like, to the same, like, it makes no sense. And that was when he gave this answer. He said, I set myself on fire so people love to come and watch me burn. Do you understand what I'm saying? I hope you do. Before I go too far, I want us to look at our key scripture. Matthew 5 and verse 16. Matthew 5 and verse 16. All right. So it's one that we all know, we're all familiar with, right? It says, let your light so shine before men. What does that, when something is shining, what does this signify, Abby? It means that there's light there. There's fire there. You understand what I'm trying to say? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Is that not exactly what John Wesley was saying in other words? Let's answer. So I know that we're actually following what I'm saying. Was that not what he was saying? It was what he was saying, right? That he sets himself on fire so much that people come to see him burn. When they go to see John Wesley, do you think it's John Wesley they actually see when they get there? No, what do they see? They see Jesus, right? So he's the one doing the setting of himself on fire. And then people are coming to see that what's going on. And then when they get there, they see Jesus. They see Jesus, right? There's a story I wanted to share with us. The story of a young boy named Abraham Aguila. Most of you might have heard about this set of books called God's Generals, Abby. If you know what God's Generals is, it's a compilation of the stories of people that have done awesome things for God, like they've made massive contributions to revivals that have happened over the years, right? So initially in 2020, when I was thinking about this message, and I knew that I would want to talk about God's Generals, right? But this time, when I was preparing, I realized that why will you go to 19, 20, whatever, 30 something, where they picked those people from, to use them as examples for how you can be God's general in the world today, when there are actually people that are doing magnificent things right now? They are God's generals right now, right? Just that we've not written the book, God's General, and put them inside, right? So I decided to find a more contemporary story. Thankfully, just like a few days before Pastor told me that I was going to preach this message, I found one that stuck with me. So obviously, you know that's the Holy Spirit setting me up, Abby, step by step setting me up. So this is the story of Abraham Aguila. Abraham Aguila was a professional soccer player. If you watch all these American movies, you know what I mean, right? So in his high school, he plays professional soccer. So you know, like I said, if you watch the movies, that they are usually the most popular. The guys that do the sports and the girls that do cheerleading, the most popular in the school and everything. So he was a big boy, he was everywhere. Then he had an accident. He broke his collarbone, which means he could no longer play sports. Because of that, he fell into smoking marijuana, going around with girls. Just basically, he was just done. He was not interested again. He was like, fine, whatever. I mean, if I can't play sports, they might as well just do what I'm going to do, right? Remember, he was one of the popular guys, right? So he was getting girls. But then, one day, his mom called him and said, I'm giving you an ultimatum. If you know you want to continue to live in this my house, you must start going to church with me. That was the ultimatum his mom gave him. So he was like, what's wrong with this woman now? Like, I beg, excuse me. I'm not going to church, blah, blah. But he knew that he had nowhere else to go, Shay. So he decided that, okay, fine. If that's what you want, I'll go. Shay, please to go to church. Oh, yeah, let's go. So when they go to church like that, he will sit at the last row. And he used to call it Backslider's Lane. Something like Backslider's Row. Like, this is where we the backsliders. This is our own colony in the church, right? So he will go and sit down there. Week in, week out. Week in, week out, until one day, Abraham Aguila's heart was touched by God. So he himself reached out to somebody in the church and said, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. Abraham Aguila gave his life to Christ. He said, when he gave his life to Christ, he just suddenly found himself doing strange things. He will go to go and pick up his food. And you know, again, if you watch this movie, it's how it is in America. Like, they serve lunch in their school. Everybody goes to the cafeteria. They all go with their tray. You pick food. You put it in your tray. You go back to sit down. You eat, right? He said, when they go to get food like that, he said, you suddenly just find himself talking. You just start shouting, Jesus is king, blah, 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 blah. You get? You just start preaching. What's wrong with this guy? There's the fear that, number one, you were one of the popular guys, Seth. Like, the least you can do if you're giving your life to Christ is keep it inside you. Abi, just know that you are now a different guy. But at least keep your cool. How will you be shouting in the lunch line? What's wrong with you? He began to preach. He said, before he knew it, 12 people that he preached to gave their lives to Christ. Then they came together. They started a Bible study. That Bible study began to attract people from the school. Before they knew it, by the end of the semester, 275 members of that school, students, staff, teachers, non-teaching staff, etc., had given their lives to Christ. Now, they began to do the Bible study very well now. Before, they used to use a classroom to do it. Before long, classroom was not containing them again. So they had to move out of the classroom and go and start doing it in the gym. Yes. And again, if you watch the movies, I want you to be picturing these things that I'm saying. If you watch the movies, you know how their gym is. Whenever they have basketball games or soccer games, you know it's a big thing. On a regular day to day, when they have their Bible study, they used to have up to 73 attendance, like 73 people in attendance. Now, as at the time that I found out about Abraham Aguilar, guess how many people in his school have given their lives to Christ because of his preaching? Can somebody just take a wild guess? I know we don't usually do back and forth on a Sunday, but I just want a wild guess. TJ, 500, I mean, thereabout. Flakes, 1,000, yeah. At least somewhere in between. 895 people. 895 people. Guys, when I see stories like this, and I see a lot of them on social media, if your social media is curated well enough that you get these things, you will realize that people are doing things. I mean, young Christians are doing things. Abraham Aguilar is a high school student. I don't think there's anybody here that is still in high school. Everybody here, according to the American standard, were in college, I'd be in the university, or you are about to, but you've graduated from secondary school. That's my point, Abby. Abraham Aguilar has won 895 souls to Christ in his school. People are doing things. People are doing things for the kingdom of God. People are achieving things. And yet, here we are, and this is my pain, here we are, just comfortable to come to church on Sunday. Like, yeah, sit down. When they sing the worship songs, you can dance today, but next week, maybe not, if you are not in the mood. And then maybe like 2 Sundays from now, like you are in front, you are on your knees because, wow, that praise worship hits a lot. But then by the next Sunday again, it's like, geez, I prayed and God didn't answer me, like, whatever, sha, right? People are achieving things from God that are way younger than us. And it's not about, I'll still get to that much later, but it's not about even some of the things that we think. For example, Abraham Aguilar, if you see the picture of him that I found, he had earrings in both ears like these earrings. That didn't stop him from preaching, right? I think now, because when I was reading some of the news articles, when he gave interviews and stuff, I think he has removed it now. But he was saying that even as at when he started preaching and he was winning souls, he still had his earrings in. It was not about that, Abby. It was about him being on fire. He had set himself so much on fire that 895 people came to watch him burn. And in the place of watching him burn, they found Jesus. Oh, deep. Now, I keep saying, set yourself on fire. What does it even mean to set yourself on fire? We read the scripture, Abby, that let your light so shine forth before men that you would they would see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Guys, see, some people will never, ever read the Bible. Even we that we are Christians, if we are struggling to read the Bible, is that not so? Not to talk of an unbeliever. They are not going to read the Bible. Let's just be honest with ourselves. The only ones that read the Bible are the ones that will read this, come and argue with you. And they will read it lopsidedly. So, what is the Bible that they can read? What's the Bible that they can read? It's you. So that's why there's this saying that we are the written letters that people read, that unbelievers read. We, me, you, we are the written letters that the unbelievers are going to read. Some people will never meet Jesus if not for you. That's the truth of the matter. There's a place of, sure, if I don't preach to this person, God will raise somebody else to preach to this person. Sure, most instances, yes. But there are some people that the last chance that they ever have to meet Jesus is you. And the moment you fail to talk to them, or the moment they fail to see Jesus through you, whether you talk to them or not, which is another point I'm going to get to soon, if they cannot meet Jesus through you in whatever way or capacity, that's the end of it. They are going straight to hellfire. Straight. You are the written letters that they can read. Let me give an example. There's this guy I follow on social media. And on Instagram. Before I can follow you on Instagram, you must be doing something awesome. Because nobody's following me too, so I'm not going to follow anybody. That's my ideology, right? So my followers count must be more than my following. Right? That's my own. So if I follow you, oh my God, you must be priceless to me. This guy is an LGBTQ guy that has given his life to Christ. Right? And if you watch him even till now, all his mannerisms are still femaleish, girlish, etc. When he gave his life to Christ, he found Jesus. I'm not going to go too much into it because that's not the crux of what we're saying today, right? But when he found Jesus, they sacked him from his job. Because if you know how American corporate world works right now, they hire people based on diversity. So if you're LGBTQ, right, they'll hire you instead of me because you're LGBTQ, so they need to hire you. You get me? I'm not LGBTQ, so the person that's LGBTQ, you know, I'll get the job. So when he gave his life to Christ, they fired him. They are not giving him job again. He was like, hey, shocking. This is an Oyibo guy. He's black American, but he's definitely not African. So there's no like, oh, after all, his parents have been telling him about Jesus. Nothing like he's full Oyibo. They don't know anything about Jesus. They just did. So he did not have a job anymore. No means of sustenance. So he started making videos. Little by little. Me, when I found him, he was very small. Now he has plenty of followers now. He's all over the podcast and everything. But what I noticed, I wanted to point out specifically today, is that I've noticed that more LGBTQ people that have somehow found Jesus recently, but are still struggling with LGBTQ feelings, right? I don't know if that's right, with homosexual feelings, are starting to follow his page because they are trying to see, how did this, because now he's no longer, he said it himself, he no longer has those feelings. Jesus has taken it away from him. Do you understand? So they are trying to find out now, how did this guy get rid of those feelings? So some of them, when they give their life to Christ, they just decide that they are never going to, you understand? Like, since I'm going to continue feeling this way, and I've given my life to Christ, I want to please Jesus. So they decide that they will never marry. So whether male or female, they will not be involved in any sexual anything. They will just stay for Jesus. And that's fine and good. But why have that when you can be fully restored? Right? It's like you telling God that, God, you said you don't want me to be homosexual. So return me back to factory settings. You understand? So they begin to follow this guy's page. And through his videos, through what he's saying, people are beginning to be delivered of their homosexual feelings. That guy could have given his life to Christ, lost his job, and then just joined the church. Right? No biggie. And God would not be angry with him. But he decided absolutely not. I'm going to proclaim this thing from the rooftops. Everybody should know. No, I gave my life to Christ and he removed these feelings from me. He returned me to factory setting. I lost my job and he sustained me. He did not have money. The guy suffered for a while. And yet, you understand what I'm saying, Abby? People are making a difference in the world. There's this saying that what you are doing is so loud that I cannot hear what you are saying. You are saying you are a Christian, but what you are doing is so loud that OTD, etimi, Abi OTD, etimi, I don't even know. You shall understand what I'm trying to say. I cannot hear what you are saying. Your actions are speaking louder than your words. And a lot of us, that's the way we live our lives. If you leave this place and go, and I know what I'm saying, because maybe pastor may not know too deep some of the things that we do. But please, we are all together, right? We know the things that we do. in it. Yeah, so I know what I'm saying. The fact that everybody's coming to church, being happy, everything, you sit down, you look good, does not mean that we're living our lives the right way outside. And if your friends should hear that you are a Christian, they will laugh you to scorn because they know that when it comes down to it, you are even worse than the unbelievers. What you are doing is worse. You are the Bible of wickedness and badness that the unbelievers are reading instead of the Bible of God that the unbelievers are reading. And that's sad. You must exemplify Christ in the way you think, in the way you talk, in the way you behave, even in the way you dress. Again, I'm being very, very careful saying that because sometimes we can take it to the extreme. Because you're a Christian, you don't dress well. And that's not true. I particularly like to see content from people that are Christians that do all this fashion, this thing. They say fairy makeup. They'll say, they look good, right? I don't have any particular this. Even that guy that was wearing earring, the Abraham Aguila guy, if he never removed it, I probably wouldn't even, right? You understand? I mean, it was working. But since he was convicted, he removed it, fine. So that's not what I mean. But I'm saying that you must examine yourself and look, okay, the way I'm dressing, is it the way the Holy Spirit wants me to dress? Probably the earrings that Abraham wore is what some of the things that got people to even be saved, because you'll be like, so that means I can't even give my life and continue to wear my earring. Fine. And they give their lives to Christ. Do you understand? So it's not really about all of that. But I'm just saying that let Holy Spirit guide you through it. You cannot just do anything anyhow. Yes, I think that's the point that I'm getting to. As a Christian, you cannot just do anything anyhow. It is not possible. We are called to righteousness. What is the meaning of righteousness? Because I have noticed that a lot of times we say a lot of words in church that even we, the church people, we don't understand. If I call somebody out now and say, what's the difference between righteousness and holiness? Let's take a second to think about it. Some of us have no idea. Righteousness, holiness, what's the difference? Probably not. Righteousness, the simple distinct, righteousness is right living. Right living. You live right. Right? You live right. That's the meaning of righteousness in simple terms. You live right. 1 Timothy 6:11. Can we have that on the screen? 1 Timothy 6:11. All right. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Leave these things. Flee from them and follow after what? Righteousness. Abi, I'm just trying to show that God actually expects righteousness of us, because it seems when I see the way some Christians live their lives, I don't think they really get that God actually wants righteousness from them. Some people actually feel that, and I'm going to get to that. Don't let me go ahead of myself. Okay, God, please let me extend this time in Jesus' name. Right? Okay, let's look at Proverbs 21:3 as well in the Amplified Version. Proverbs 21 and verse 3. To do in the Amplified, I mean, it says the same thing, it means the same thing, but I just want to get the specific word. Okay, this Amplified Classic. Well, it's fine. Amplified itself says to do. Okay, yes. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. The scripture that we all know is obedience is better than sacrifice. Abi? And to hearken better than the fat of rams. That's the one we all know and that we all quote. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Even if you are giving 10 million naira, if you don't obey God, if you are giving 10 million to the church, even if you don't obey God, God takes the disobedience as more than what you are giving to the church. But now, this scripture is just saying the same thing. That for you to do righteousness, for you to live right, is more important to God than all the sacrifices that you can ever bring to the house of God. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God demands righteous living of us. God actually demands that you live right. You must live right. You cannot just say that you're a Christian with your mouth. You must live right. Sometimes when I hear some of the things, like when I hear gist, so to speak, right, about some of the things my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ are doing, I'm shocked. I can't believe it. I'm like, ha, how? How? Is it not the same message that we're hearing day in, day out? Is it not the same message? It's the same message, oh. But I think people don't really understand that God demands righteousness of you. He demands it. This is what I was going to say before that I came back. I'm coming back to now. A lot of Christians, when they want to justify what they are doing, they'll say, Christianity is a thing of the heart. As long as my heart is right with God, my dear, Christianity is not a thing of the heart. It is a thing of the heart, but it is not just a thing of the heart. If it was a thing of the heart alone, our key scripture will not say, let your light so shine forth before men. It will say, keep light within you. Ensure that you are filled with light, morning, noon, and night. Keep it inside. But did not say that. He said, let it shine. She's something that is shining. Is it internally it shines? No, it's not outwardly. Christianity is not just a thing of the heart. The heart is there, but the external is also there. So God demands righteousness of you. He demands it. Fire is very important to God. Light is very important to God. What you are imbuing in yourself and what's the word for it now? Exuding, yes, out of yourself is important to God. In Leviticus 6, verse 12 to 13, God was speaking to Moses and the Israelites about how to build the ark, how to do this, how to blah, 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 etc., etc., etc. Sorry, I'm very used to saying blah, 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 blah. So take it like that. I'm sorry. I'll try to be conscious of it. Well, habits. So he was telling them all the things that they must do. The priest must dress like this. The whatever must do like this, etc., etc. So he now says in 6, 12 to 13, he says, and the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The next verse, which is exactly where I'm going to, 13. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar, and it shall never go out. Now, you know that the Old Testament is just an exemplification of the things that were to come in the New Testament. We know that, right? So a lot of the things that we are doing in the New Testament now, God used all these things as symbolism to symbolize what is going to come. So the altar that they built then, where's the altar now? Is it in Jerusalem? Where's the altar now? Where's God's altar? Do we know? I hope we know, because a lot of people are just looking at me, but we should know. The altar is within you. You are the altar. Your heart is the altar. Your spirit is the altar, right? So this same instruction that God was giving to them then is the same instruction that actually applies to you. Because the Old Testament is not washed away like a flood. Oh, Jesus has come. We don't know God needs the laws and the prophets. Cast them into the fire. Mbao. See, the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar of your heart. That's what it says. And it shall never go out. So that means it is as important to God now as it was then. Imagine the process of keeping fire burning forever, perpetually. That means maybe every hour or something, somebody has to go there, because obviously it's firewood fire now, right? So it's not like gas cooker. Somebody has to go there. Chuk, 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 chuk. Take new firewood and put inside. Abi? So maybe they will have routine saying that, oh, see, every hour you must do this. Every hour you must do this. Okay, TJ, you are the one to go for hour one. Then Angela will go for hour two. Emmanuel will go for hour three. Flakes will go for hour four. Damilola will go for hour five. Do you understand? So it was a lot of work. It was not easy. But God demanded it. He didn't request it. He demanded it. Shall. When we use the word shall, at least I'm a lawyer, so I know. When we're drafting our laws and everything, when we say shall, we are telling you that there's no wiggle. There's no, it must be that way, right? It must be that way. So it is not a request. It's not a suggestion, a command that it must ever be burning. The fire in your heart, which is where the altar is now, must ever be burning. Don't let the fire on the altar go out. Let it be ablaze so that the world will come and watch you burn. We've said a lot for introduction. All right. Now, let's get to the crux of the matter. Trust in me. Believe in me. I'll finish. Even if it's late, it'll be very small like this. How do you set yourself on fire? How? It's important to know, right, that you need to set yourself on fire. But how do you go about it? I'm actually interested. Oh, Rafael, you've said so much. I also want to be doing great things, right? I know now that God actually demands righteousness of me. He demands that there is a fire burning on my altar that people should see and come to him through me. I realize now that, oh, there are people that I'm their last chance, I'm their last bet to find Jesus. And if they don't find him through me, whether preaching or not even preaching, whether it's just by seeing you, I don't want them to go to hell on my account. Even though it's not as if God will now come down and slap you that, Fola, you failed me. But the truth of the matter is that you did fail him. You get what I'm saying? Right. So to circumvent that whole process, how do you set yourself on fire? Number one, there must be love for God in your heart. You must love God. Going back to the right living thing, a lot of us say we love the Lord. And I remember, oh yes, choir will be very familiar with this. At our last choir retreat, I led us all to start with this beautiful song. I love you, Lord. Come and see hands flying up. Oh, for your mercies never fail me. Oh, all my life you have been faithful. People come out and fall when we sing those songs. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. Everybody's like, wow. Yes, God's love is awesome. God's love is a beautiful thing. You, God, do you love the Lord? See, it's easy to say you love anybody. At least, thank God, as Flakes was saying, thank God I have man, I have boyfriend. Praise Jesus. Yes, thank Jesus. If my boyfriend is always telling me I love you, I see this wicked soul. How's my friend, Sharon? So, if he's always telling me I love you, and I'm not seeing anything, I'll tell him that, Uncle, there's something that is doing you. There's something that is wrong with you. As a matter of fact, because of the way I am, me, I need everyday reassurance, everyday care. But yeah, every 2 hours, I'm telling you, we're just coming out of another this thing that we just finished now. Because me, I need it constantly. Like, you have to be constant with it, right? So, you cannot end a call without saying I love you. If you end the call, I'll call you back and be like, wow. So you don't love me? So me, I need it. I need it like water, like for life, I need it. My dears, we are all the same. If we are claiming love or somebody is claiming love, we want to see the signs. But the truth of the matter is that for some of us as Christians, we are happy to receive God's love, to tell God that we love him, but to do nothing to say that we love him. For example, please join ministry. Serve in God's house. It's God's work. It's not our Father's company. Let's just give towards God. This is at least the little effort that you have. We even quote scripture. That's my favorite scripture that I used to talk of. Holy Spirit, please remind me. For night is coming when no man may walk. Hey, I must do the work of you sent me while it is day. For night is coming when no man may walk. Abi, we will say it, beg it, plead it, appeal it. And still, some people will be like, Mbao, as for me, I'm comfortable to walk into church around 10 p.m. because I know that at worst, church will finish 11:30, 1 hour, 30 minutes, fine. So they'll sit down in the back and that's all, fine. Ha. And you're telling God that you love him. Do we think that God is an idiot? I can assure you that he's not. He's looking at you. And the worst part is, we as humans, Shebi, anything you tell me, not in my bow, at worst, I look at your attitude, your character. I can never look into your heart. But God can look into your heart. So you are telling him you love him, and he's looking at you, and he's like, thank you, dear. Noted. Like I used to say now, because of the corporate world, you say this is duly noted. Thank you. I will circle back on this at a later time. He doesn't believe you because he knows that you don't love him. Because if you love him, there will be something you are doing to show that you love him. It's not enough to say, I love you, Lord. Anybody can say that. God has said, if you see, and okay, I think maybe this will paint the picture very well. If you use social media a lot, what am I even saying, social media? We all know Nicki Minaj, right? Rihanna Anka, okay, you don't know Nicki Minaj, Rihanna Anka. Those two people, when they win an award, the first person they thank is who? And I go, though, sometimes I'll just look at Nicki Minaj, no. And they'll be like, I love God so much. Like, if you watch their interviews, like, me, my social media is so vast. I see, I know what's going on in the world. Just because I'm a Christian, I'll be like, I must not know anything. You're on you. I know everything. There's almost nothing that you can bring up now that I don't have an idea about. Because I'm vast. And as a Christian, if you are going to, I'm saying this because if you are going to reach out to unbelievers, you must know how to know what they know. Right? If you are coming like SU, nobody will hear you. Right? You must at least be able to engage with them. Right? So, I'm like, so Nicki Minaj, too, in her mind now, she believes that she's like perfectly, like she's okay. The same way I feel about Nicki Minaj is the same way some people are looking at you and they feel about you that, sorry, this is the person my eyes landed on. It's not why I do anything. I don't want to use that. She's smiling at me. That's why that. So Christiana too believes that she's a Christian like this. Now, as I was saying, Madu, that's how some people look at you and they feel. They will never tell you, you will never know, but they are looking at what you are doing and they are like, that's too bad. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Can we have that up? Matthew 22, verse 36 to 40, yes. Says, somebody was asking Jesus, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? Next verse. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Let's put a pause on it there. We're going to come back to read the remainder of that. That's the first and greatest commandment. You must love the Lord. When you love somebody, it costs you something. That's what I've learned. And I keep that, I keep that in my mind, that it must cost me something. I said I have a boyfriend, right? Me being in that relationship, it costs me something. I'm telling you, it costs me something. It costs me keeping things that you say in mind so I can ask you later that, have you to show care, Abby? It costs me, especially as I went to Lagos to begin my job, I found it very, very difficult. Like, those first few weeks were terrible for me. It was so hard for me to adjust. And it's by prayer, that I'm just trying to adjust to that life. But I was always morose, sad, under anxiety. Those of you that work in the corporate world, you know the teams, when the teams call is coming in, there's this sound, something. Once I hear that sound, anxiety will come. What again? What do they want again? Oh my God. What do I do? It was a lot for me. But even in the midst of that, normally, what do? You withdraw now. Like, you withdraw and just, at least the little time you have to yourself, try to keep it to yourself. But because I know I want my relationship to work, I know that I must still continue calling. If you don't call, I'll be like, why didn't you call me? You don't even call me today. You know, it costs you something. So how come it is that we believe that we love the Lord, but it must not cost us anything? It's okay for you to just come into church whenever you please. Sit down in the background. You're not doing anything for God. You're not preaching to any souls outside in your life. Even the way you're living your life is a manifestation of everything that Christians are not supposed to do. So your love for God costs you nothing. Is that love? No. It cannot be. It cannot be. It must cost you something. If you say you have a friend and you love your friend, you want to do things to make that friend love you back, right? It means showing up for them when they're in need. It means when they have something to complain about and rant about, you make yourself available. Even when, there are times when what your friend is complaining about, compared to what you are going through, you'd be like, monkoko, you know nothing. But because you are their friend, you listen and still empathize. Do you understand? Not because you cannot say, what are you, like, don't you know I'm going through X, X, and Y? So you've not even asked me how that is going. You're now bringing this irrelevant issue to my front. But because you love them, right, you make time available to empathize with them on the nonsense they feel they are going through, etc. Then, your father, you love your father. I mean, I love my daddy so much, right? I want to do things to make him happy. I want to do things to make him proud. If I have a mentor, I want to do things to make them proud as well, right? So, God is supposed to be all these things to us, right? Supposed to be our friend, supposed to be our father, supposed to be our mentor. So that means in the natural sense of it, if you are thinking about it, you should be doing things to, right, to show him that you actually do love him. Sacrificing things. Abby? There is something that happened. I'll not look at that, my friend, but my very good friend reached out to me recently that something happened. And she was supposed to do something in church. And she was like, she does not want to do it again. And I could have gone into a whole message about it. Of course, you should do it, this and that. But because I know that she knows, too, that she has to do it, all I said was, I wish I could open the message now, but that might take a few minutes. I said something like, but you also know that that's not possible. Because it is God's work. I don't think I said anything more than that. And I didn't, but in fact, I don't think I replied that reply to that message for a long time because I knew that she already got what I was saying. And that thing that she was supposed to do, she did do it because she understands that. Even though you feel like this happened, this makes you not want to do this anymore, or this, that, blah, 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 whatever the reason might be, you know that if you claim that you really love the Lord, then I don't need to spend hours telling you that you have to sacrifice those feelings. Those feelings that might be valid, if you actually hear the story and everything, they might be valid, but you have to sacrifice those feelings because you say you love the Lord. Abi? Yeah. So the little things matter. That's what I wrote here. I said the little things matter. I have a friend as well who is also here listening to me, who does not allow anybody to put anything on her Bible, no matter what. And me, I kept putting my phone on her Bible because it does not even occur to me. And I remember at a point, because every time she'll come, she'll be like, you've put your phone on my... Not as if she's fighting with me. She'll just be like, you've put your phone on my... I'll be like, what's wrong with this one? Like, it's just a book. This is not actually Jesus. But then, not long after I made that statement, I believe that the Holy Spirit expounded it in my heart that it's not about her thinking that the Bible is more than just the book or whatever. Is that that's how, one of the ways that she just honors God. And thinking about that, I realized that even you have your own peculiar things. For example, I try not to do my hands like this in church. Why? Because if I fold my hands, God will be displeased. No, he won't, right? But for me, it's just another conscious way that I honor God, that I don't fold my hands in church. Sometimes I forget and I do it. Once I remember, I put it down. That does not mean you have to do the same. Because at the end of the day, it means nothing in the long run, you understand? But for me, it's just the way I honor God. There's something as well that I used to do before. I will not mention that one. So people will not be like, right? And I remember I was having a discussion with somebody about it recently, and I said that I don't think it's a sin, right? But to me, I just decided that I don't want to do it again because I love God. It's just my own way of showing that I love God. It's like I just sacrifice a particular thing on God's altar, you understand? Not because I feel, if you do it, you go to hell. Even if I see somebody else doing it, I may not even tell you, why are you doing this? Right, because I'm not particularly, but then for me personally, I've just sacrificed that particular thing on the altar. My dear, that moment I sacrificed it, temptation left, right, center. Offering, people were offering it to me. I take it, you go for a party, they'll be like, oh, do you want this? I don't want this, leave me alone, please, let me breathe. I don't want, right? So, and I continue to stand sometimes when I'm thinking, like, should I just take it? After all, like, it's not a sin. I'll just remember that, but you decided that you wanted to give up this particular thing. Nobody forced you, it's you that said it, so I give it up. So in the same way, right, it must cost you something. It might be a little thing that you just give up for God, not because it's a sin. And of course, yes, there's a scripture, 1 Corinthians 10:23. That's the scripture by which I live my life. I am going to be honest with you, and I'm not lying, I'm not whatever. I'm telling you, this is the scripture by which I live my life. 1 Corinthians 10:23. All things are lawful for me. But all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. All things are lawful. They are permissible. You can do them. It's not that if you do them, you go to hell. But some things you just don't do because they don't edify you and they don't glorify God in any way. So you just let them go. Some of you have never, since the day you've given your life to Christ until now, you've never let one thing go. And I'm talking so that it's took your heart. If it's took your heart, that's the goal. That's why I came today. That's what I've come to do today. To took your heart. Some of you have never given up anything for God since you've given your life to Christ, but you're comfortable to continue to receive. Abi, and that's the love that you have for God. You love him so much that there's nothing you can give in return. Your time, your service, your money. If they call for some people to give, donate to anything, even though you have the money, you will never. There are times when they'll call for us to donate money for this, for that. I remember one time, Omologio, at that time, I was still a student, maybe 100 level, maybe 200 level. How much was I collecting in a month? But yeah, 10,000 that time. You can imagine how ridiculous it was. And so, pastor said we should give towards Omologio. Those that can give 10,000, those that can give 100,000. I knew that there's no way I should gather all myself, like sell myself And I want to give, I cannot give 10,000 because that's the money for the whole month. So what did I do? I gave 1,000 naira. Do you know that 1,000 naira I gave probably is worth, like in God's sight, because if you remember the story of the widow, right? The widow's mite is probably more empty in the eyes of God than what I can give now. Because I'm working now. I have money. I can give money. If you call me, first calls me, I'll bless him, but coffee, so. At worst, even if I cannot, like, immediately drop, like, boom, like that. If I save up 1-2 months, I can drop it. You understand? But that 1,000 naira, it's, because I went hungry, at least you get go hungry for some days on that 1,000 naira. At that time, maybe if you want to buy food in UI, 200 naira. So you can imagine how many meals I gave up with that 1,000 naira. You must give up something. It must cost you something. Even the little things that you feel are not anything, give them up. Because even though they are lawful, they are not sinful, they are okay. But because you claim you love God, what are you sacrificing? What are you giving? If this is all I say today, I'm fine. But I have more to say and I shall say it. Number two. So we said number, okay, you must love the Lord. Hey, sorry, go back to our key scripture for this thing. Matthew 22, 36 to 40. Now from 39, I'll be 38 or 39. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. 40. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So I've talked about loving God and what that means. It's not enough to just love God. You must love people. Because the crux of this thing I'm saying is that you must set yourself on fire enough that people come to see what's going on with you and they find Jesus. Abi? Abi? So that means I'm talking about you winning souls to Christ. The only reason why you'll be able to do that effectively is if you actually don't want people to go to hell. It must be paining you. Sometimes I'll just sit down and think that somewhere in South Africa, in Zambia, there are still tribes of people that have never heard of Jesus. They still live like they wear leaves. People used to see it on social media sometimes, so people will go there and find them. In fact, I've seen a lot of missionary works going on lately. Well, these Oyibo people are, when I see those kinds of things, I'm touched. Even though I don't think I can do that, go into the wild like that, but they do it. And they find these people that they've never seen phone. When they'll be like, all those kinds of things to me. It's just so funny. But when I think about those kinds of people that they never get to hear about Jesus, I actually feel bad. So we must have that kind of love for people that when you think about somebody in your family that you know is going to hell, you actually feel bad. Like, for example, there's a colleague of mine now that is a Muslim, right? And I've just been looking at, because me, I find it very difficult to do one-on-one evangelism something. And I used to look that if I try to preach to you now, you say you don't want to be my friend again. Now what was going to happen? Oh, but I'm thinking about it because he loves music a lot. So he listens to all kinds of music, including gospel music. And I used to look at, see this Muslim guy listening to, what's going on, right? So I've been thinking that maybe that's a possible way that I can use to like broach the subject, right? But if I don't care about him at all, I don't love him, like, then I wouldn't care enough to do any of these things that I'm saying, right? So that's why it is important that you love people. So number one, love God, and then love people. That's 1B. Number two now, you must desire to be on fire. Perspire to acquire the desire that you require. If not, fire. I didn't even notice that. That's how it sounded, Ubo. You must desire to be on fire. You have to be determined. You must want it. Let's see Matthew 5, 6. Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Why not say, blessed are they who God chooses to fill. He shall fill them. Why? Because there are two people that are playing a role in that equation. Abi, it's not just A equals whatever. It's not just A equals C. It's A plus B equals C. So the A part is that they hunger after. Then the B part is that God now fills. It's a two-part deal. There's this image that plays in my mind from time to time that I heard a while ago. It says, imagine that God's hand is like this. If I hold my hand out like this for the next 2 minutes, it will start paining me. You start seeing, and myself, normally, I can't even hold my hand straight. If you notice, like, my fingers, they shake, right? But it will start shaking a whole lot more. It will pain me, my joints, everything. But God's hand does not pain him. So his hand is perpetually like this. Perpetually in every area of our lives like this. So, in order for your hand to enter his hand, what must you do? You understand? So it's a two-part deal. He will not come and remove your hand from your pocket where you have shoved it at. I beg, like, I'll just be coming to church. That's fine. Like, that's all. Like, there's no need for righteousness. He will not come and remove your hand by force from your pocket and put it inside his own hand. He has stretched it out. He values your free will. So if you choose to come and put, he will put. That's what I'm trying to say. So you must desire it. As I've said all these things, I've said, I've given you the story of Abraham Aguila. I've given you the story of that LGBTQ guy. What's his name? Kevin or something like that. There are so many of them. I'm telling you, so, oh my God, so many people are doing amazing things. Some people only in the area of dressing on social media, they have won people to Christ by just showing them that the moment that you become a Christian does not mean that your skirt must reach here. It does not mean that you must always tie scarf. You can look good. There's a girl in this church, I love her so much. That's Blessing. Blessing is a fashionista. You can tell when you see her. She's always like looking pink and stuff. I love it so much. I've never been particularly a fashion person, even though I'm trying to be better now, right? But when I see people like that, coming to church, dedicated to church, see my friend, Seth. I don't mention my friend, Sharon. Hey, you all know Sharon. Even if you don't know her personally, you might have just seen that this girl dresses well. There are people like that. Even if it's only that you're broadcasting to the world that see, you can look good and be a Christian. For some people, that's why they don't want to be a Christian. People have very ridiculous reasons for not wanting to be a Christian, no? Sure, you know. For some people, it's the fact that if I become a Christian, I cannot have fun. Like, that means I'll just be there, right? Now, y'all know Ebenezer and Paul, right? Those guys have fun. They have fun. Like, they have so many friends that they go out with, they play football with, they do this with. Even if that's you, you're just this very exuberant person that you're everywhere. Everybody's seeing you having fun, and they're like, as much as this guy loves the Lord, he's still having this much fun in his life. Some people, that's all, though. You never know what it is that is keeping somebody from being a Christian that they will see burning in you. So you can see as I'm talking now that it's not about preaching the gospel like, sister, have you given your life to Christ? It's not all about that. It can be anything. Anything. CJ Sue started a Christian WhatsApp channel at some point, right? And she still does it, but not with the intensity that she used to do it before. Some people will see only that alone and be like, I always wanted to go into social media, but if I become a Christian, that means I can no longer do social media. And you will show them that, my dear, you can. Me, I'm a music person. I always wanted to do music, right? And I always thought, is it by force to do gospel music? Then I see people like Johnny Drill. Then I see people like Powerful. I don't know if you guys know Powerful. Don't let me sing his song because it's not a gospel song and I'm on the altar. You love him. Thank you. See, these people, they are winning souls to Christ. I can tell you that. Sometimes winning souls to Christ is not even about just winning them into salvation because they were unbelievers before. Sometimes winning souls to Christ is somebody that's already given his life to Christ before and then you're bringing him closer. You're winning his soul too. You understand what I'm trying to say? So for somebody that was like, hey, if the church doesn't want me because they feel I'm not doing gospel music and they leave, we've had situations like that, they will leave and cuckoo go and now become terrible. That's kind of chasing them away and chasing them into the world. But if they are in a church where they are like, okay, you say you want to do music, you will do your musical, but we're going to be involved in how it goes. We want to know what you're singing. Sing right, sing clean things. You can sing love songs. There's nothing wrong. Like AY released In My Heart. I love that song. I told him when he first released this that I've listened to that song like 100 times. These days I've been slacking, Shabo. When it came out, because I love the song so much. I love love songs. I've told you I'm a love girl. I'm a love person. I love love so much. So awesome. Yes. So it can be that. It can be anything. But that you will just sit down there like nothing concerns you. Nothing bothers you. You're just there, Sha. And you love the Lord. So you're coming to church. Don't come to church now. That's nothing. It must cost you something. You must be doing something. So you must desire it. You must desire it. It's a two-part deal. You must be doing something. It's when you are doing that thing, when you are showing the desire, that's when God will now come and fill you. He will fill you according to Matthew 5 and verse 6. So ask yourself, I wrote it there, I said, ask yourself, what can I do? What can I begin to do now? If the desire is not there, you will do nothing. You will live your own life as a Christian and you will have zero impact on the kingdom of heaven. You will have zero impact on the kingdom of heaven. Zero impact. And that's a shame because some of you have been Christians for years. I was going to mention this as well because, like I said, I spend a lot of time on the social media, right? I've seen that there's a move that is happening now. There's a revival that's happening. And if you are following, you'll catch it. You see, we used to say America is far gone, it's Armageddon, it's Kinnikon, they are going to hell. In fact, nobody can save them again. But I've noticed that in this white world, or in the white, you should have got, get what I mean, people are beginning to give their lives. And they are not giving their lives to Christ en masse. The way we sit and be like, oh, there's a revival breaking for 200 people gave their lives one by one. In the space of the last 1 week, I cannot tell you the number of videos I've seen of people saying, going to church, I'm going to church for the first time in 7 years, or this is the first time I ever stepped into church in my life. And they enter church, and you know, because they are just going for the fun of it, right? To just see. So they are recording video. So, and throughout the service, they're recording video. There's one I saw. Tears began to fall from his eyes during the worship session. Even he could not believe it. He was like, what's going on? So when he finished, like when the service finished and he went back home and he recorded the after video, he was like, I don't know what happened. I just found myself tearing up. I was just crying. I don't know. Kinnikon. He was like, I have to go back next week to find out what's going on. He's going back next week. And I'm telling you, I've seen several videos like where people be like, I'm going to church for the first time in 7 years. I haven't been there since Kinnikon. People are returning to the church in en masse in these places. I saw one article. It was even written by unbelievers. They were complaining that Oxford University, they've noticed the trend that people go into Oxford University. Most of the people that go into Oxford University these days, they come out believers. Now, what's going on? That are they like trying to brainwash people or something? I was like, they are not brainwashing people. That's the Holy Spirit at work. So there is a revival. There is a revival that is going on, right? People are winning souls to Christ. Souls are coming to Christ, right? Don't and they will come and they will overtake us. That's the concern. Because you've been a Christian since you were born and you've done nothing for the kingdom. You've achieved nothing. But these people, they are coming. They are immediately broadcasting Jesus to the nations. They are immediately winning souls for Christ. And you are still here. And the thought is not even in your mind that I can do more. I should be doing more. Ah. All those kinds of things, they pain me a lot when I see that. When I see somebody that I feel you should know better because you've been here for a long time. You should know better. You've been here longer than me. And you're still doing this. Are you kidding me? Stop that. Those that inquire, they know that I can be very tough. I can be a very stern person, right? So if I know you to some extent, I'll call you and I'll tell you that, are you serious? Do you know what you're doing? I'll be very stern, right? So I'm infusing that a little bit into my message to talk to you. Because God is not just, oh, he's such a loving father. He's also like, right? The Bible says that he sits in righteousness and in justice. Like, he's also like me. He's a stern man. And he's telling you this morning that you've been sitting down here for the past how many years? There's nothing that we can point back to you. Or the last thing we can point back to you was 5 years ago. Ah, and you claim you love the Lord. Please stop that and sit up in Jesus' name. Number three, read your Bible. Read your Bible, pray every day, pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day, if you want to grow. We listen to that song, say, what's wrong with Tori Fair now? Like kindergarten song that they sing in Sunday school. Come on now. And that's the reason why some of us will never grow. Because you feel some things are now too kinny for you, you've passed that level. There are some levels that you can never pass. If you're going to solve a mathematical equation, they give you the formula. You start from the beginning. Right? No matter what. So, you must start from read your Bible, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. That's the first step. Read your Bible. My number 2 point is to be pray every day, but let me just hammer this. Read your Bible. That's the way you can know God. That's the way you can build your intimacy with him. Now, we are saying that let your light so shine that people will come and see, Abby. They will come to look at you, to see Jesus through you. But if you yourself, you don't even know the Jesus that well, like you don't even know God that well, then... For example, now, recently, my time is going. Recently, but these examples, they bring things to life. Someone says, recently, I was reading through the Old Testament. I've read through the story of the judges, and now I'm reading through the story of the kings, right? How that, God, the Bible said that God put, this judge became the judge of Israel, or this king became the king of Israel, and they did evil in God's sight. And I remember a thought just occurred to me that, hey, God, you too, why do you keep allowing all these bad people to be king? Like, just you to put somebody there now, Abby. Yeah, maybe you are the king of kings and lord of lords. So it's as if you are setting these people up for disaster. For example, King Ahab, the husband of Jezebel. Why did you put him? You should know naturally that this boy is going to do a lot of evil. And the answer came to me that God values the free will of man. God values letting man determine his life. If God did not want us to be able to make certain decisions for ourselves, he wouldn't have made humans. He would have continued with the angels. Isn't it so? Because they have no will of their own. But he wanted people that can decide to love God. They can decide. So he allows us to make decisions. When they all came and they said, we want a king, go. You said we should have a king, but we want a king. We don't want you as our guinea anymore. God, please leave us alone. Who we want is King Saul. What did God say? Let them. Abi, it's the same way. Sometimes people now, when they want to bash Christianity and everything, or when you watch all these internet videos as well, they'll be like, God, if you claim that there is a God, why does he allow so much evil happen in the world? If you want God to remove all the evil in the world, by the time he removes every bad person and kills all of them, we will not remain anybody. The world will be, it will be Armageddon. God values free will. So for me now, just reading through the story of the judges and the kings makes me realize that God is not the kind of man to make decisions. God is not the kind of person to make decisions for us. He wants you to make them yourself. So if anybody comes to accost me with that particular narrative, I will answer them because now I know. I have that understanding. I know that about God. To be able to explain to somebody else that the reason why there's so much evil in the world is because God values your free will. But some of us, the moment they ask you that question, you begin to kalolo because you've not read your Bible and you've not seen it. So you must read your Bible. So that when people come, when they come to you, I love it so much when people ask me all these kinds of questions. All these kinds of questions that normally if you ask Christians, they will just begin to, that's where they will lose your soul. Because when you cannot answer that question, the person will just look like, this person doesn't know what he's saying. That means God does not exist. When they ask me those kind of tough questions and I have an answer, the joy that fills my soul. It makes me so happy. So you must read your Bible. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. We all know that scripture. I'm going to move very quickly to the next point. You must pray. You must pray. Jude 1:20. Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the spirit. You must pray. What is the meaning of building there? Pastor said this so many times, that the word build there means what?
Charging
yourself. You must charge yourself. When we're thinking charging, we're thinking electricity, we're thinking fire, right? So everything is still pointing back to the same thing. Fire. Setting yourself on fire. So for you to set yourself on fire, one of the things you must do is pray. You must pray in the spirit. It builds you up. There are times when you feel down and empty. What do you do? It's so hard to pray. Believe me, I know what I'm saying. Like, these things are, maybe I'll say that in my conclusion. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But you must pray, Nani. As hard as it is, you must pray. That's it, though. Sometimes you can tell physically that your fire is dead. Your fire oil is low. I don't know if anybody has had that experience before. You too, you know that. Oh my, you serious? You know you can feel it. What do you do then? Do you become sad? Ah, God, I failed you. Oh, man. I'm sorry, Lord. And you just like, that means it's over, man. Fine. No. You must pray, Nani. Pray in the spirit, because that will now bring the fire back. Sometimes when I feel that way, I felt that way for like maybe a week, and I've just been there marinating in my lukewarmness and sorrows. When I now remember again that you're not a serious person, pray. Then I begin to pray, and I actually feel it. I feel better. I feel alive. So you must pray. Is it only praying in the spirit? Because that's one thing I'm noticing a lot. And it's bothering, it's a point of bothering to me. And when I feel bothered about something like that, I know that it's the Holy Spirit that is prompting this in my heart. Say something. And I've been trying to say that something to the choir, at least in the little corner that God has given me. But I'll say that to the whole church now. There's the extremism of the Pentecostal church. Once somebody comes up, so let us begin to pray. What are you saying? What does that mean? What's the prayer point? The Bible says that the Spirit helps us to pray. Does it say the Spirit prays for you? What's the meaning of somebody helping somebody to do something? That means you are doing it and I'm helping you. Not that I take over the duties from you. So what's the meaning? What does that mean? So there's nothing you can say. Even when they say, let us begin to thank God for his faithfulness. So the Holy Spirit should help you to thank himself. That's what it is now, because Holy Spirit is God in it. So the Holy Spirit should be helping you to thank himself again. You cannot open your mouth and thank God for the things he has done for you. You cannot list them and say, God, I recognize that you've done this. Stop that now. It is. What's that word for it? I'm looking for that word because it will hit the nail on the head. But it's not the best. It is not the best. Pray by yourself. Pray with your mouth. There's a rule of thumb that I have. When somebody comes up, whether it's in church or whatever, or I'm praying in my personal life, I pray in the understanding. Then I support it by praying in the Spirit. And then, so that means if I have a prayer point one, I'll say prayer point one, pray in the Spirit. Prayer point two, pray in the Spirit. Then at the end of the prayer, I will now pray in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is helping me to pray. He's not praying for me. So it is wrong. It is wrong. And I don't know what we think we are doing, but that's enough, Sha. Let me just leave it there. When you pray, right? What happens to your spirit, man? There's this video that was going around one time of this man that was, it looked like it was on fire. There was, and then I tried to look for that video all throughout yesterday night. That maybe I'll tell media to me played, but I couldn't find it. The one I found did not have the speaking in tongues on that. So I was like, fine, I'll just say it. Most people have probably seen it. That's what happens when you pray in the spirit. Like when you pray in the spirit and when you pray in the understanding, same thing. Power is made available. In the realm of the spirit, it's like fire is burning around you. Fire is burning around you. That's what it means. I wanted us to look at Exodus 34, but because of time, you can just write it down. Exodus 34 and verse 29 to 35. What happened there? Moses went up to the mountain. He went to be with the Lord for some time, 40 days, I believe. When he was coming back down, the Bible says that his face was shining. It was so bright that people could not look him in the eyes. They could not look at his face because his face was on fire. Eventually, do you know what Moses had to do? He had to take a veil, take a scarf, and put survives just to talk to people because everybody was running away. That which kind of calamity is this one? Right? How did that much power enter a man that his whole face is burning? Like his whole face is like shining so bright that people cannot look at it, shining like the sun. How did that much power get into him? Because he was talking to God. Because he was communicating with God. Is that not what prayer is? So when you pray in the realm of the spirit, that's what happens. Picture it like that yourself. In the realm of the spirit, that's what happens. Your face is on fire. You are on fire. You are walking in a cloud of fire. Devil God is afraid to come and meet you. He's afraid. The realm of the spirit is a real place. It is happening right now as we're happening. Christians don't really understand this, but I used to be very interested in mythology before. Egyptian mythology, Greek mythology. But in the Egyptian mythology, they believed that there's a place called the Ruat. As I'm standing like this, I can lower my eyes into the duat. So I'll stop seeing all of you the way you are like this. I'll begin to see the order of you. So they understand. We don't really understand that, but it is a real place. And they were doing it because you know the Egyptians are very occultic people. Hope you know. Very occultic people. So they can do that. So they understand that this realm of spirit is happening right now. When the devil comes to whisper in your ears, nobody comes to you physically. But if we could see that other realm right now, you will actually see him come to whisper in your ear. Because in that realm, he is real. Just like your spirit is there. But imagine that kind of power is around you at that moment. That kind of fire is burning around you. Do you think he will approach you? If me, say, if I see that kind of thing, I'll run away. Because I'll be like, waiting be this. So please, prayer, very important. Then number five, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Mark 16, 15 to 16. Mark 16, 15, 16. And he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Yes, so that's that. So God expects us to preach the gospel. It is actually something he expects of you. In that place, he did not say, therefore, ye pastors, go ye into the world. He did not say, therefore, heads of ministries, go ye into the world. So what am I trying to say right now? That the same way God demands righteousness of you is the same way he demands that you preach the gospel. Going back to my earlier point, does that mean that I'm saying you need to carry this thing and begin to walk around? No. Because that's just one way. Does it mean you should begin to share tracts? No. Because to me, say for example, I'm passing on the road and I see somebody with microphone. Hey, give your life to Christ. Can you come? Now, in the space of time that maybe I'm in a car or I'm walking past safe, in the space of time I walk from here to that place where I'll no longer hear you, it's like 5 seconds. So all I hear is, give your, and I've gone. To me, when I see them, I always feel this is not effective. But that does not mean that God cannot use this to be in a solo. Somebody will be passing one day and stop. But I'm just saying that it's not, to me, with what we have today, it's not even the best option. Like, there's so many things we could be doing to win souls to Christ. So many things. So many things. Just the way you live your life. 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 I repeat that again. Just the way you live your life. You shall get what I'm saying, Sha. So seek God in the place of prayer. Okay, yeah, so preach the gospel where I'm on right now, right? So I said preach the gospel not just in words. Let your actions also preach. There was a time when I was in school. I've shared this story several times with at least the choir, I know. And there was this particular course. I missed the first class of that course. And I did not know that that woman was a very wicked soul. And in the first class of the semester, she gives an assignment. She takes down attendance and gives an assignment. That assignment is our own CA, 20 marks. It was after I missed that class that day, and I didn't miss it out of laziness. So I missed it because I was trying to work out my accommodation. It was that evening that I missed that class is when somebody called me to warn me. One of my seniors, my older sister, Biola Manandola Yonwa, that Orefe, no matter what you do, make sure you don't miss thoughts. So I was like, I need to call me to tell me this in the morning, or at least yesterday. Yeah, I missed it though. Right? So we began to go and beg this woman. Hey, she will rubbish us. She will insult us. She will abuse us. A long time, we even went. We're like, maybe if we kneel down, she will hear us, that she should please let us do the assignment. We went to office. She sent us out like dogs. After Sha staying on her neck, begging her, pleading, can you come here? I was even angry already that, oh, I beg. Azal now, you are treating us like what? Because of what? I beg. But we shall begged. Eventually, she said, okay, that she will allow us to do it, but only on the condition that we bring medical reports that states that we're in the hospital, and that's why we did not come. Ah, people were so happy. Thank God. Ah, they're like, my uncle is working at clinical, blah, 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 blah. I don't even have any uncle that is working anywhere, right? That will go and meet that, please, any fake hospital report, etc. But somebody offered me, came to me, was like, we're fair, my uncle, like, he can help you do it, this and that. But you see, when I thought about it, I was like, that's a lie. At the end of the day, that's a lie. Again, let me lay the foundation by saying that this course is one of the courses that people fail a lot. Like, most people fail it. So imagine that out of 100, you've already even lost 20 marks. The failure would be too massive. You understand? So I was under that pressure. But in my mind, I just kept hearing, that's a lie. It's a lie. So I said, no, thank you. I'm not doing a hospital report. Even me, I could not believe myself. Because I'm sure if that happened maybe a year before that, I probably would have done the report. It's not that big a deal. You understand? But I was looking at it and I said, hey, okay. So would you believe that all those people that submitted hospital reports, she never acknowledged it. She never used it for anything. Now, in my entire class, I think about 3 people had Bs. Remember, I said this is a course that most people don't pass, so nobody even had A. I think about maybe 3 or 4 people had Bs. Do you know that one of those people that had Bs was me? If I did the hospital report and submitted it, does that mean God will hate me? Does that mean God will say, Orefe, you've lost your salvation? No. Right? But I had a chance to preach with my actions. Not just to preach to them, because most people may not even ever find out that I did that, but to preach to myself. Because now, after that, I've been in kinds of situations like that, where it's like, just do so, and so, and this will be fine. Just do so, and I'll remember that, oh, Rafa, you that you refuse to submit hospital reports, you can't. Get what I'm saying? You can't. So sometimes it's not about talking to people. For like you need to give your life to Christ too. You can even be preaching to them and they're looking at you that you that I know you. Even if maybe that's not who you are anymore, but they knew who you were before, so they are using that. So sometimes even talking to them is not going to have any impact. That's just the truth of the matter. But if there is something that you are doing that they see, if there is a fire that is burning that they see, they will come to see. So that's preaching the gospel. So stand by your principles. Stand by your principles. If you've made up your mind that I'm not going to tell lies, the ones that are not full lies but they are semi-lies, don't tell them too. You understand what I'm saying? Stand by your principles. If you've made up your mind that I want to be a fashion, Christian fashion influencer, right? And you are doing it, you are doing so well, modest fashion, etc., 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 and then they approach you with a brand deal. Don't say, $200,000. Should be just to wear it once. I'll be fine. Stand by your principles. If it's content creation, and of course, the goal of content creation is that people begin to want to collaborate with you, Abby. You are doing comedy videos, and then suddenly people are calling you, Lassisi is calling you to collaborate with him, etc. And Mr. Macaroni calls you, and it's one of those videos where I don't even watch it, but I think I've seen like two or three. On all these videos seem to be the same thing to me. I don't understand it. Girls with big whatever, and then you see them, and then you toast them, and then you take them. I'm like, is that all you have that is funny? Like, do something else. So if he calls you for that kind of video, and he offers you 10 million naira for just the one shoot, 15-minute video, don't take it. Stand by your principles. But there must be that one thing that you are doing for God. That one thing that you are doing for God, is what God will now bless, that people will begin to come and see Jesus in. You understand what I'm saying? Do we understand what I'm saying? All right, so we're very close to the end now. Number 6, walk in the vineyard. Apart from doing things outside, outwardly, to win souls for Christ, shine your light outside. Do something in the house too. I'm sure everybody already knows that. If Orefe is taking steps up on that stage like this, she will say something about joining ministry. Yes, I will, because it's important to me. To me, I see it as the cheap way of serving God. Like I said, I find it difficult to win souls, like coming to talk to you. But you know what I believe? I believe that when we have a program in church and we invite people to come, and they come, and somebody, Chidera, who is the HM of prayer ministry, maybe leads prayer, and then Ada comes to lead praise and worship, but I'm backing up too. Or maybe I lead special number, or I sing one way or the other, I sing in the choir, right? And Victor comes to act a drama with Soje and co and co and co. And at the end of the service, pastor preaches and he wins souls. The counting of that soul applies to everybody that took part in that service, not just pastor. I believe that strongly. Everybody that played a role in making the service, the technical department that ensured that the microphone was working, that the person heard. Imagine if pastor is here and the soul is at the back there and he's not hearing anything. You understand what I'm saying? So the person that made sure that the mic was working to win that soul, God counts that soul for you as well. So why are you not serving God in the house of, like, in the church? Why are you not serving? What does it take from you? We are not even saying come and join choir compulsorily. We know choir is a lot. It's a demanding whatever, right? There are so many ministries that you don't need to come and rehearse on Sunday, rehearse on Sunday, rehearse on Sunday. Join. Again, you claim you love God, Abi. And so, where is the fruit of your love? Where is the what's showing it? Nothing. We are begging you, pleading with you. From last year, I think I've been saying this now. It will be up to a year that I've been hammering on. Every time I come up on stage, join the ministry. I'll preach, use scripture, use everything, use this, use that. Please, serve in God's house. I was still begging you till today. Shame on you. Shame on you. Please, if you claim you love God, do something for him. It does not have to be the mightiest of whatever. It does not have to be, choir until I get up on stage. The little you can do. If it's to join prayer band, join prayer band. Pray. You really believe that the people that prayed for the service, God does not count the souls that won in that service towards that person. The people that actually prayed that souls should be won. Come on now. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. Let's wake up. We have so many opportunities to show our love for God. It's not just about winning souls and having souls counted to you. But you have so many opportunities to show your love, and you are failing in every single one of them. All the opportunities are presenting themselves. You are failing in every single one of them to prove to God that you love him. And you expect that he will just look at your lips. The lips are saying, I love you, baby. I love you so much. And he will believe, rarao, because he can see your heart. And he knows that when it came down to you showing that love, you showed nothing. So please, let's wake up. I used more time, but well, everything I've said is important for you to hear. So I can trick your heart and trick your soul and make you change and do better. Some of these things don't come, all of these things don't come easy to anybody. And that, I'm saying that because some people are like, yeah, she, because she has been in a choir, so it's easy for her to. I always say this, and I always tell the choir members, when it comes to prayer, building my prayer life, I'm not sure if anybody has had it as difficult as me. I'm not sure. Prayer is so hard for me. There are times when I built my prayer life up to the point where I was praying to me 1 hour a day. And it's like awesome. That's awesome for me. Oh, there are people here that are having 3 hours a day and they're like, I'm referencing anyone that I've been praying. My dear, I'm telling you now that sometimes I'll do that 1 hour, I'll maintain it for 2 months, I'll be on fire, I'll be so happy. The next 2 months after that, like this, I'll be struggling to say a word of prayer per day. Especially when I went to this Lagos again. It's like every time I go somewhere else like this, I just used to. But one thing about me, Sha, that I feel the Lord looks at, and that's why wherever I go, people continue to say, ah, there's something about you. For example, now, the church that I attend in Lagos, which is also our church, anyways, the Expression House, I was recently just asked to be their prayer leader, and I was like, hey, we're a prayer leader. You don't even know what you're getting into. But as I thought about two ways. Number one, God is using that to help me get back on track, because of the way my work is, it's so draining that I don't have strength to. Imagine you've been out since, like, I leave the house at 7 a.m. in the morning, and I get back like 8:30. And all through the day, I was working so hard. Not only was I working, but I was under pressure, anxiety, clinical, like everything's just, by the time I get home, I just want to sleep. So it's so hard for me, but God, God is using this to, you get, help me get back. But beyond that, when I was asking God that, God, why me? Why me? The answer that came to me is that God knows that I love him. I may not always be doing it the right distance, but no matter what I'm doing, the love will show. Sometimes I'm doing something that I know is wrong, but I will never, and that's my problem with most Christians. You'll be doing it with impunity that, I'm doing it, I'm having premarital sex, so what? You do it and come to church, no shame, no fear in your heart, but that can never be me, and God knows. And I'm not saying this because maybe I've started doing this like 1 year ago. I'm telling you that as far as I can remember, since I became serious with my Christianity, even if I'm doing something bad, I will never take it for granted that I'm doing that thing. I will always be in fear. If I do it, I will repent again and say, God, please help me not to do it again. When I now do it again, I will now feel bad again. I will repent again. But that I will just do things with impunity that, after all, Jesus has died for my sin. God sees that. He sees that about me, that my heart is always with him, even though I'm not the best Christian and I don't know the most Bible. For example, there's so many things to learn. For example, as Minister Falake was teaching us in choir today, talking about fasting, she was like, she fasts every week. I don't fast every week. If I have a prayer request, I fast. If the church is fasting, I fast. But I don't fast every week. That does not mean that next week now I'm going to begin to fast every week, but it has lodged somewhere in my mind. I've noted it. So some people are doing this for you, God. One day, the Holy Spirit will quicken it in my heart, and I will do. God knows that he can count on me for that, that my heart is always with him. No, my heart is always with him. I might be doing that thing, no, but I will never be doing it with impunity, that I'm doing it, not here. I'll be struggling with it. That's a place of showing love. That's a place of showing love for God. So if I now claim that I love God, and I'm building up all this strength, right? Even when I don't feel like, even if I go 2 weeks without, okay, these 2 weeks, I've been so busy, I've not read my Bible, I begin to read it again, right? I'm building up all that strength. The ability for me to be this person that I am, do you believe that there are some people that, I've had people approach me and say, I just look at you and I like you. And I know that it goes beyond those words they are saying. Maybe if I was a fashionista, I'll feel that they like me because I'm a fashionista. But I know I'm not a fashionista, so it's definitely not about that. But they are liking the fire that they see me. They are liking the fact that they see that I love the Lord. It does not mean that they see that I'm perfect. I try as much as possible to always paint that picture to everybody. They're trying to inquire. I am not perfect, though. But they see that that love is burning in me. And I want to believe that some of those people that come to meet me, and some people that don't even come to meet me, they see that and they want to emulate that. So that means through me, they are following Jesus too. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? So that's the goal. 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 Let people see something. Eh? Don't just live your life anyhow. Your Christianity must cost you something. It must cost you something. I don't know how much else to say this, but this pain that I'm feeling in my heart, this exertion to just state this thing, is not me, it's the Holy Spirit that's telling you. He wants to see that you love him. He does not just want you to continue to say it. You are saying it, and he's looking at your heart, and he's shaking his head. This is the word that God is speaking now. I said it at the beginning of this message. I said, the Lord said, tell them what I'm thinking. Tell them what I'm saying. This is what God is thinking. This is what God is saying. He's telling you that enough is enough of your lukewarmness. You must love the Lord, and it must show. You must show it in your actions. You must show it in your actions. In the way you live your life. In the way you do your things. In looking for ways to serve God. When they told me that you'd be required this thing, I was going to happily turn it down. Because like I said, prayer and me, not the best combination. Number two, I'm struggling so much with my job to even find space of time to do other things. I don't think I can take on the responsibility of, because that would mean, apart from I'm praying for myself, I'm praying for the church members, I'm praying for the church, I'm praying for the pastor, and I must be praying. Because me, I will never do, they put me in charge. Oh yeah, prayer members, be praying. No, I will never do that. I must show them. I must show them what it means. Just like when I was in the choir as well. I don't just tell them to do things, and they can attest to that. You will see me doing exactly what I tell you to do. If I'm telling you to pray, I'll be praying. If I'm telling you to read your Bible, it will be clear to you that I'm reading my Bible, because I'll be telling you what I read last week is, what I read this week is. So I know that it places a demand on me, but I'm willing to sacrifice my time, sacrifice my comfort, even for whatever short amount of time I'm going to be there, prayer leader, prayer chairman, whatever, I will give it my all. So please, you must be able to say that too. You must be able to say that too. It must cost you something. It must cost you something. It must cost you food. Once in a while, not just in fasting, but maybe when you've given your money to somebody that the Lord is asking you to give your money to, it must cost you something. I have so much to say, but if I keep saying it, I don't think we'll leave here. But let me just add this final story. Recently, as I was going to work in the morning from Obalinde to Banana Island, where I work, this guy could not pay for his. I've noticed that a couple of times in Lagos. If you cannot pay for transport, you hang on the car. I'm like, we don't used to do this one in Ibadan. What's going on here? They'll hang on the bus. So I began to feel this prompting in my spirit to give the guy money. And he was looking like a rough guy. I cannot do it though. But as I just kept sitting there, I just kept getting the impression in my heart, do it. I knew it was the Holy Spirit talking, but I was like, I don't do well at these kinds of things. It's like Holy Spirit prompting me to pray inside bus. I mean, to preach inside bus. I will not preach. Of course, I'm just saying that, right? If I feel this thing, I will just force myself. But it's not easy. I don't like it. I don't like all those kinds of things. So I was just waiting. I was like, okay, after some time, when the Holy Spirit started touching my hand, I said, okay, if he comes inside to sit down beside me, I'll give him. The guy did not sit down beside me, because when people drop, then he can now perch inside. He didn't sit beside me until he came down. I was like, maybe I'll not give him again, no. But then, as I came, so I'd held the money in my hand, though, for you to know how much I was struggling, just for me to tap him in front and be like, So as we came down like this, I was like, okay, if he stands close to me, I'll give him. This guy will just fly in front like this. I was like, what's wrong with this guy now? So eventually, I just walked up to him. And I told him, I said, kilo de teshe, because I already rehearsed what I would say inside the car. I wanted to say, kilo de teshe hang glory motto. Te batin pada lole kema hang mo. Oya egba, Jesus loves you. So when I got there, I said, kilo de teshe hang glory motto. I said, I forgot to say Jesus loves you. Now, probably I did not fulfill everything that God wanted me to do in that case, right? The Jesus loves you part. But Jesus saw that it took me so much to do, but I still did it. So if they ask Jesus, if he comes here and they ask him now that, does Oriofe love you? What would his answer be? Yes, because I keep proving it every day. I'm not taking it for granted that he loves me, so that's enough. No, he loves me, and if I claim I love him too, then I must be able to show that to him, just the same way he's doing for me. So that's my message. That's my message. That's my message. Let me end here. If I begin to give you more stories, that's my message. Please, let's rise to our feet. There's a song I wanted us to sing, but I don't know if we all know it. And I want us to sing a song that everybody knows. So let me just broach the song first and see if we know it. Refiner by Chandler Moore. Now, the beginning of the song has run away from my mind, though. Ada. Yes. If the altar's where you need us, take me there. Take me there. If what you need is just an offering, I'm right here. My life is here, and I'll be a living sacrifice for you. You're the fire, the refiner. I want to be consumed. So I can see that most people don't know it, but I want this song that everybody knows because you must sing it, right? I talked about desiring it. This is what will show that you desire it, when you sing this song to God and not just sing with your lips, but that God can see at that moment in your heart that you are actually reaching for something, right? So we're going to change the song. This one, so let's sing it. The world will come to see me and they'll see Jesus. My life will preach the message. My lips will preach the message. I will not just be saying with my mouth that I love you, but that you will see it in my actions and you see it in my ways. That everything I do, you will see to speak my love for you. Because I do love you. Jesus, I do love you. It's not just the product of my lips. I'm not just saying it for lip service. I do love you. I do love you. I do love you, Lord. Help me. Help me to be on fire so that it is clear. So that you can see it clear as day that I love you. you can see, and others can see it too. They will see Jesus in me, and they will come to the brightness of my rising. They will see Jesus in me. They will see Jesus in me. The Bible says that the path of the just is like a shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. That shining is your fire that will be burning on the inside of me. Therefore, I decree in the name of Jesus that my path will be shining brighter and brighter, because the fire in me will be burning brighter and brighter. The fire in me will not go out. The fire on my altar will not go out. In the name of Jesus, from today, there will be a difference. From today, there will be a difference. People will see me and they'll see Jesus. People will see me and they'll see Jesus. People will see me and they'll see Jesus. Not religion, not the removing of earring, not the using of scarf, not the wearing of skirt or whatever it is. What they will see is the pure, unadulterated Jesus. The pure, unadulterated love of God. In the name of Jesus. I want you to say those words with me. That will be our mantra going forward. When they see me, they will see Jesus. Let's say it. When they see me, they will see Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus. Areka panda damasi andari abakalia. Mandare bodos. Thank you, Jesus. Because we know you've started a work in us. You've started a work in us. Oh, we're so grateful. We'll begin to see things. We'll begin to see the people that are making contents that will draw Jesus to Christ. We'll see the people that will now know that their fashion can draw people to Christ. We'll see people that will know that their music, their singing can draw people to Christ. We'll see people that know that even the way that they talk can draw people to Christ. We'll see people that did not have the boldness before to speak, to preach to people. They begin to receive that boldness. But that in every single way that you want to use each of us, that it will begin to be so. It will begin to be possible. It will begin to work. It will begin to manifest in the name of Jesus. It will begin to manifest in the name of Jesus. It will begin to manifest in the name of Jesus. Souls will come to your kingdom, O Lord, through us. In the name of Jesus. When we get to heaven and we see Jesus, he will meet us at the gates with a smile on his face, and he will say, well done, good and faithful servant. I sent you into the world and you did what I asked you to do. You did not just sit back. You did not just sit back on your own luxury. You did not just sit back in your own luxury, but you went out of your way to prove that you love me, to prove that you love my people, the people who are called by my name. It is so in the name of Jesus. It is so in the name of Jesus. Now, I've spoken a lot about shining the light of Christ, but if you don't have Jesus in your life, there's nothing to shine. If you don't know Jesus, there's nothing to shine. You might have even given your life to Christ at some point in time, but by your actions, you know now that you have not been loving the Lord, and your soul, you have returned, you've taken it back to yourself. You gave it, but you took it back. If that is you, and you want to reconnect, please step forward. Please step forward. Please step forward. Let's pray together. Because until Jesus is in you, and in you fully, there's nothing to shine forth to the world. There's nothing. You are an empty barrel. You know how they say an empty barrel makes no, it just makes noise. When you hit it, it's just empty, so it makes noise. That's how you are. But when Jesus comes inside you now, you are filled with something. You are filled with the petrol. You are filled with the firewood that the fire will catch onto and spark like that. So if you fall into that category, anybody, if you fall into that category, anybody, just step forward. And if there's nobody in that category, that's fine too.
Thank you once again for listening to this message. We hope it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you the God of the Bible so that you can know him intimately, beyond religion, and rediscover purpose in him. Please connect with us on all our social media platforms at the XPHNG, or join us in our live services at Mokola Ibadan for fellowship and partnership. God bless you.